Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, along with Donnie Hoover.
Hey, everybody. What's happening?
And John Orlando.
Hey, everyone. How's it going out there?
And on this episode of Wrestle Horror Podcast, we've got our guest, Robbie Superstar, the show. Robbie, how are you?
Wow, you butchered that.
Yes, I did.
The show, Robbie Superstar. Get it right, jabroni.
I butchered it. That's my job. How are you, man?
That's all right. I'll let it slide just for this podcast.
Okay. So, Robbie, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Are you a horror fan at all?
You know what? I actually was not a big horror fan. However, my wife has gotten me into horror movies and stuff like that. So I've gradually become a fan since I've known her for the past three and a half years.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we've seen you and your wife on social media lately. So what kind of horror has she gotten you into? Is it mainstream, kind of off the side?
Kind of a little bit of both. Sometimes we try to find obscure horror movies, some funny horror movies, like What They Do in the Shadows. That one comes to mind. The one with like the parody of the vampires and stuff. We thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You know, and then, you know, the Freddies and the Jasons and the Michael Myers. And then I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan, and they implement a lot of horror characters in their games, too. So I'm a big fan of that. Big fan of that.
All right. Excellent. Donnie, any questions for Robbie?
Basically just we want to let people know who you are and where you came from. We know, you know, on our end, you've been into –
know who I am.
That's right. Personalized Yeti cup.
Is that more one of a kind merchandise that you have?
Yes, it is. I got it as a groomsman gift, actually.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. Best man gift, actually.
Yeah, but like, yeah, everybody, you know, knows you've been around the business for a while and stuff like that. But for the people that don't know, just, you know, give us a little info, background on you and how you got started in wrestling.
Well, I haven't had too many monikers. Sorry, my phone flashed there for a second. I haven't had too many different monikers other than Robbie Starr. I've had Robbie Superstar and the show Robbie Starr. But I've been around the business. I'm in my 2004, so I'm in my 15th year. I started training at Big Guns Pro Wrestling Academy down in Coshocton, Ohio. Stayed with OCW throughout the tenure of my career. Got in, you know, joined up with New Ohio Wrestling with you. I've wrestled for many different promotions, different states, you know, wrestled, you know, quite a few different names and stuff like that. Not that that's a big deal, but it is to some people. It holds a special place in my heart because when it comes down to it, we're all fans, and growing up watching those guys, it's like a dream come true to get to interact with them and be with them and have matches with them or just, you know, be in the locker room with them or all that good stuff.
Robbie, can you refresh my memory? Because we've known each other a very, very long time.
Yes.
How did you find Jeff's school? Because I really can't remember. I was thinking yesterday, and I'm like, I remember meeting you, but I'm like, I have no idea. I don't remember the story of how he got there.
It was actually – I can't think of her name right now. Oh, Brandy. Do you remember her?
Oh, Bryce, yes.
Bryce's Valley.
Yeah, I do.
It was really weird because, you know, as a lot of us did, my friends and I were wrestling in the backyard on trampoline and stuff like that. And I was a big fan and just growing up and probably did it a little bit, you know, longer than I should. I was probably in my 20s before I stopped. I was in my 20s before I stopped doing backyard wrestling. but I was working out at college at Kent Stark, the Stark campus. And she just randomly came up to me. I was working out, and she came up to me. She's like, have you ever thought about being a pro wrestler? And I kind of looked at her. I was like, do you know me or something? And she's like, no. She's like, I'm part of a group down in Coshocton, Ohio, and it's independent wrestling organization. It's called Ohio Championship Wrestling, OCW. And she's like, you should come down. You got a good look, and you look like you'd be athletic and all that stuff. And she basically gave me the info, and I went down a week later and checked it out. So okay. It was, I thought someone was ribbing me or playing a joke on me at the time. I didn't even know what ribbing means. But
so Robbie, you signed up to train with Jeff, and you did all of your training there. What was the best part of being at Jeff Cannon's camp?
Honestly, just a place to go to every week, and the knowledge Jeff had, and the how he instilled the old school, but was open to new things too. Like he watched current wrestling that was on at the time, and he knew how to do everything. Not saying that he could do everything, because Jeff is a big guy, but he knew how to do it, and he kind of instilled that in me. And that's, I might be jumping ahead here, but that's what I've instilled in the Spinebuster U training facility now. Like, I can pick out and see and know how to do just about any move or placement. Not that I can do it anymore. I'm not as agile as I used to be, but, that's something that I learned from Jeff. And, we made it, he made his place available, I think at least 3 times a week in the beginning. And then it went down to 2 times a week, mm-hmm. as I continued my training, but I went for years. I went mm-hmm. for a good 3-4 years just to practice and get better at the craft per se. So it was, gotcha. It was always a place to go and always a welcoming place to go. Mm-hmm. A lot of good guys came through there, and
a lot of great memories in that small little gym too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I got you. Most definitely.
Yeah, so I was never a part of the OCW group. I was out of wrestling at that time. But, I mean, like, just me even being out of it, I heard stories of, like, the family atmosphere and how, it was a special group. And then I started coming back into wrestling and, like, going to shows and hanging out again. And you could just tell, like, the old OCW group was just, like, a special group of family. It was a really cool feeling to go in there and just be a fan of that promotion, not even be a part of it.
For sure. Yeah. It was a lot of, I still can remember pretty much everybody that came through there and their names and, how they looked at Jeff and how they respected Jeff. And he just had a good way of doing things for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, well, one thing I wanted to ask you about, which, I mean, I know some of the answer, but I just like your input on it. Mm-hmm. One thing that you became well-known for was the tag team with Hakamatomi Matt Mason, the Supernovas, high-def Supernovas. And yeah. There was at one time you guys were tag team champions for, 4 or 5 different promotions at the same time or something like that?
That's a little exaggerating. I think we were champions of 3 different promotions. It was OCW, War Wrestling, and Cleveland All Pro Wrestling at the same time. And all the promoters trusted us enough to take the belts to all the different shows. And that was kind of our gimmick there for a while. Mm-hmm. We were champions of all of Ohio and, the top companies in the state at the time. So yeah, we made a pretty good little name for ourselves, even if it was, on the Ohio scene, it was still a cool time for sure.
Who were some of the toughest opponents you had during that time frame? Because I can remember some matches that were, to steal Jim Ross's moniker, slobber knockers there. So what were some of the toughest, or who were some of the toughest that you guys faced?
Oh, man, we had feuds with, all the top tag teams around at that time. It was the first one, when you say slobber knocker, I think of Faith and Nothing.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of too.
It's Ricky Shane Page now, but I can't remember his name.
Vince Nothing and Christian Faith.
Christian Faith. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They were great in the ring at, you know, when we were wrestling them as a tag team. I was kind of younger to the scene, and I don't know how long some of these guys have been in it, but I was blessed with a tag partner in Matt Mason, and him being well respected around the area that, you know, nobody tried to take advantage of me because I was Matt's partner and stuff like that. Not saying that those guys would, but I didn't have to worry, you know, when I was in the ring, because that can be, you know, something to worry about when you're new to the business, you know, because you've heard horror stories and stuff like that. But other teams that we had good feuds with that were intense were the Irish Airborne, Jake and Dave. And they're, you know, they're doing great for themselves now. They're on, I believe Impact, right? They're on Impact Wrestling. And the Clash, Ernie Balls and Brian Bender, those guys were good. And then who else?
You had a run with the Nightmares, the Mass Nightmares.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a small run.
Yeah, we had that. Who were they? Do you remember who they were?
Well done.
With a mass man.
No, I never saw them without their masks on, so I don't know. I mean, they showered with their masks on, they ate with their masks on. I don't know who they are.
No idea. No idea.
No clue.
They were John Orlando and Donnie Hoover. No,
that looks familiar. Rings the bell now. It all makes sense.
Well, Robbie, let me ask you this. Who did you, growing up watching wrestling, did you watch WWF more than any other promotion, or who were some of your idols when you were growing up?
I was mainly a WWF fan, for sure. But I did occasionally watch WCW. What is it, 605 on TBS? Mm-hmm. 605. I did watch that show. I didn't really know the characters and everybody, you know, the personas as well as I did the WWF. But I think that was just because I didn't have cable all the time growing up. Like, there were times where we had cable and then other times where we didn't. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. I believe WWF was more available. And that's a lot of what my friends watched growing up, all the guys that I grew up with on my street. but some of my idols, I mean, I was a Hulk Hogan fan. You know, I was hooked in by the red and the yellow and the saying your prayers, training, eating your vitamins.
Right,
believe
right.
in yourself, all the demandments and commandments of Hulk Hogan. but looking back now, I really enjoyed, you know, watching the Macho Man. Okay. He's one of my, you know, influences now for sure. You know, on the WCW side, I was like, you know, Sting. He was, you know, he was the man in WCW when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I shocked the last time I did a podcast with John, actually, I shocked him, and I told him that I always liked and enjoyed the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith. Okay. He was one of those that I really liked watching. I liked him
that.
As Metal Champion and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that was a kind of a lesser known fact about me who I enjoyed watching.
Sure. Well, you've got to get influences from a lot of different wrestlers. I mean, Sting was one of my favorites growing up and all the way into his retirement. I was down south. I was in Florida, Georgia area. So
yeah.
WCW was my thing.
Right.
But WWF, you know, it was there when I wasn't watching WCW. So I understand where you're going with Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, things like that. British mm-hmm. Bulldog. I love to watch British Bulldogs.
Yeah.
When I did. So it's interesting to hear a different take, because as we've done this show, I've heard, you know, WCW people, I've heard WWF people, I've heard Impact people. Mm-hmm. So it's good to hear the differences and I'd just like to hear what our guests enjoyed and followed.
Sure. Yeah. I definitely enjoyed the neon beach buzz cut sting more than the newer sting, the pro sting. I was much more of a fan of that era of sting than any other.
Sure. Sure.
So can we talk a little bit about your athletic background before you got into to wrestling? If I remember correctly, you were a football player in high school, correct?
Yes. In high school, I did football, basketball, and track. And then growing up, I did pretty much every sport, baseball, soccer, football, all the normal – I mean, I don't say normal sports, but all the, you know, pretty typical sports a mm-hmm. kid can do, I did them.
How do you think that helped you when it came time to train with Jeff and get into the business?
Immensely. If you have an athletic background, I shouldn't say that about everybody, but if you have an athletic background, it can help. It will help. It does help. You just have to be limber. If you're strong, flexible, all that kind of good stuff. If you have any kind of athletic background, it definitely helps with being a pro wrestler and training, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you, as you now are helping to train the next generation of wrestlers at Spinebuster U, is that something that would be kind of a blue chip prospect? Is if somebody that came in that said, yeah, I played football or I played basketball for X amount of years, would that, in your mind, would that give them an edge over somebody that didn't?
Yeah, there's only been one kid that has had a background in some kind of sport or weightlifting ability that he was a body guy, you know, that I've come across. He was just a body guy because the kid was really just uncoordinated. But he has a lot of potential.
Okay.
And we're still in talks of him coming back, you know, and possibly training. Because he didn't make it. He actually hurt his back lifting, and then he further injured it training at Spinebuster. And, he's got a lot of potential in the world. But one of the questions on our, the forum that we have, just to kind of get a basic knowledge of the people that are applying for the school, is what athletic background do you have? So that's one of the things that we look for sure, is some kind of, you know, athletic background of some sort.
Sure. And I think, as you said, it helps. It's not a determining factor in your success or not, because it takes all different types of people to be in the wrestling business.
Oh, yeah, really. Definitely.
So, definitely. Donnie or Jim, do you have any questions there?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on a little bit. I was actually going to, like we said before the podcast started, I was going to play around do a little fun stuff to get you guys going at each other, but I don't think I am, because I like the way this interview is going. But I do want to touch base on.
Well, me and Johnny O never seen eye to eye, and you know.
Ever. Yeah, Bobby, yeah. Well, I mean, he knows how to push the buttons. But you were a babyface for a long time, and everybody loved you. And then it was just like all of a sudden you turned. I believe it was on Matt mm-hmm. Mason, and turned heel and went down the wrong path, as John says. And what do you feel like you enjoy more? Do you like being the good guy, like the Stings and the Hogans, or do you like leaning more toward the Four Horsemen dark side type of stuff?
Man, I must say that it is different entities, you know, one side and to the other. When I turned heel, when I turned on Matt Mason, I got the cops called on me at war. They really thought it was real, because I slammed Jamie, his wife and manager, I gave her the starstruck, my finishing maneuver, and they called the cops on, you know, woman abuse or whatever. I don't know what they said. Tom came back. He's like, you just got the cops called on you. You weren't going to call you Mr. 911. It was a pretty cool moment. So I know I did my job.
Right.
I loved, to answer your question, Donnie, I loved being a good guy, and I never saw myself as a bad guy until I got the taste of it. And now that's what I enjoy more. Mm-hmm. But I do love, you know, interacting with fans and being out there, and, you know, kissing babies and signing autographs and all that stuff. I do love that. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like getting the crowd riled up. I would say if I had to pick one or the other, it would be heel for sure.
Yeah.
Can I ask real quick, Robbie, didn't you, if I may real quick, early on, didn't you work heel a little bit with Jeff on a couple of shows for like Fulton and those guys down in Southern Ohio, or no? Am I mistaken?
No, I was, Bobby always wanted me as the.
So Jeff was the heel then?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
The baby face, you know, the grade A baby face, you know, yeah. Young talent. I didn't have a beard or anything. And I was, I think you guys, you and Adam got on me because the girl I was dating at the time wanted me to grow a beard, and I grew a beard. And your guys are like, baby faces don't have beards.
I don't remember saying that. Wait a minute.
I think it might have been Adam. It might not have been you.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't remember making that comment.
Well, you know,
girlfriend likes.
I got to say, Robbie, you know, I'm the new kid on the block here when it comes to New Ohio Wrestling. But at the Arnold last year, when you were wrestling Onyx, and Arnold Schwarzenegger came out and got involved. I mean, I know you were the heel, and we played it up and everything, but how did that feel for you? I mean, have Arnold involved in all that?
Let's just say this. I still hate that guy. I'm not talking about Onyx. Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you're watching, this one's for you. No. when that moment happened, I tell this story a lot because everyone asks me about it. I don't know how long we got, but I'll try to make this short and sweet.
As long as you want.
Okay. So story was, I know I'm kind of going, you know, breaking kayfabe here, but we were told to, and we can edit out whatever you guys want to do, but
no, you're good.
Okay. So we were backstage and, you know, we were kind of in the dark about if he was going to show up, when he was going to show up. You knew that his people had put the word into him about wrestling, but this is the way I remember it. Onyx might tell it differently, but we were both, you know, I had a place to be later on, you know, probably like 7 o'clock up north, because I live 2 hours north of Columbus. And so we were trying to get you, Donnie, to let us go on. And you were like, oh, just wait. He's going to show up. You know, you wanted him for our match, which was like, I'm so appreciative of that. And it was just like lady luck that happened, because we weren't sure if he was going to show up, if he was even going to come over to the wrestling. And we weren't 100% sure, but we knew the bug was in his ear about wrestling. At least that's what we were told.
Right.
And, so I think I went out for the ring first, and Donnie, you came running up to me as I was going up the steps, and you're like, he's in the building. And I was like, I was calm still. I was like, okay, he's going to do his meet and greet. He's going to go all these different places and this and that. And Onyx and I had about, you know, 15, 20 minute match, to work with. And we probably had about a 12 to 15 minute match planned. Because he had to be somewhere. I think he had another show that night, and I had to be somewhere for a prior commitment, like later that night. So we wanted to get out of there, and we had talked you into just if Arnold showed up, that Onyx would come back out and get the belt presented to him, because he was able to stay a little longer than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was walking out to the ring, and I was going up the steps, and you came up running to me, and like, he's in the building. I was like, okay, all right, we're all right. We got, you know, we got a good little match plan. It should work out fine. And then about 6.5 minutes in, I just see this sea of people coming towards me. I was on top of Onyx. I had him down. I don't know how I did that. That was, you know, pure luck. But I don't know how I got Onyx down. He's a big man. But I got him down, and I went to the crowd to like do my thing, you know, taunt the crowd, the show. And I just see like this corner of, or this crowd, huge crowd of people swarm, like coming towards the ring. And I didn't even get the show out. I just like stopped, and I looked, and I I don't know what happened. Like, I'm freaking out inside, but I stayed in character. And I just went to Arnold and I was like, yeah, baby, you like that or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think he thought I was the good guy. Because he started like clapping and cheering for me. And then I tried to make it known to him that I was, you know, I was trying to taunt him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I follow him actually on Snapchat and Instagram and social media and all that stuff. So when he pulled out his phone and was doing that, I knew exactly what he was doing. He was getting a Snapchat of the match. Mm-hmm. And so I just hammed it up and I think I flexed at him again and taunted him again. And then I went back over to Onyx. I was like, we got to go home. At this point, Onyx was still down. I must've blasted him a good one. Cause he had no idea. He had no idea Arnold was even there. He was like, why do we have to go home? I was like, Arnold's ringside. He's like, what? And so, you know, I got him in the corner and we actually botched the end spot, and that was my fault because I was shaking, nervous, but I was trying to stay as cool as I could be. But then we fixed it, and thankfully Arnold went to himself, like he got a picture of his face so he didn't see the botch on his Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Then we did the finish and then the 1, 2, 3. And I tried to stay down thinking he was going to get in the ring because I thought, you know, he was savvy on the whole situation or whatever. And he didn't get in. So I started yelling at him from the mat. And I was like, you cost me the match. You cost me from the match. And so I turned my back and I turned around and I gave Onyx like a signal to hit me again. And he punched me down. And I rolled out next to Arnold. And I don't even know if you know this, Donnie, but I said, I looked at Arnold because I know he's been around wrestling before. I said, I was like, push me down. And he just goes, oh, ho, 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 and laughed at me. So I kind of went back towards the ring. And then thankfully, he put his hand on my back and kind of rolled me in. Right. And I went with it. And I like did a spin and turned around and Onyx picked me up and slammed me again, and then I stayed down because I was wanting, you know, Arnold to get in the ring and give the belt to Onyx, and then I stayed down, I think, for about a minute, and then I looked up, and Arnold was gone.
I was standing, like, right behind him, and because I was trying to get him to present the belt, but he's hard to control pretty much. And I did see when you rolled out, which kudos to you on that. I wanted to give you that because none of that was planned. So the way you incorporated involving him and rolling out to him, because I thought when you rolled out, I seen what you did, but I thought you said roll me back in, and then because when you started to go back in, he shoved you back in.
Yeah, I was gonna bump on the ground for him if he would have gave me a shove.
Yeah,
I was out of the ring, out of the picture, and he could have got in.
So I thought that was brilliant how you incorporated him and got him involved, and but as soon as Onyx slammed you and he gave the thumbs up, he was just like, all right, I'm out of here, and like the whole crowd left. But because I remember telling you he was coming, and then when Onyx was walking to the ring, I just kind of walked past him like I was going back toward the locker room, and I just said, he's here, and he was like, oh shit, you know. And but I guess that he was supposed to be at the main stage to do a judging.
Okay.
And they weren't done yet, and there was still like 15 minutes to go before they were done, the talent contest or whatever was going on. So he, like I said, he just does what he wants. He doesn't listen to anybody. So yeah. I guess he just walked off, and Lee, the lady that runs the Kids and Teens Expo, said she kind of like walked him toward our way, but she didn't lead him or say anything. And then I guess when he saw us over there, he just like made a beeline right to it. It was like, you know, perfect timing. It could have been timed out or planned any better.
Yeah, it was great. I think it went over really well.
Mm-hmm.
For being all, like you said, all on the fly. And, I tried to stay professional and everything like that.
I thought it turned out great. Yeah, and he seemed to enjoy it. Like I said, the Snapchat, you could tell he was having a good time and all the other stuff. So
I still have the video on it. And everyone cracks up with his laugh. He's like, this is the professional wrestling.
First time ever professional wrestling.
In spite of that, you know, you didn't win the Arnold Kids World's, I don't even
remember. There you go, watching things again. Come on.
I don't remember the name of the title anymore. It's just so wrong. I don't remember. But let's move ahead to the Ohio State Fair. And, you know, Matt Taylor held the belt for what, 24 hours?
Yeah.
And then you captured the new Ohio Wrestling Championship.
That's all due to my fantastic, wonderful manager, Ripper Blackheart. He knows where to put his guys at the right place at the right time.
Well, I was going to say, it didn't have nothing to do with the other three guys in your group, did it?
In all seriousness, the Ohio State Fair, that was the first time I ever got to wrestle at that fair. And again, I want to thank Donnie and props to New Ohio Wrestling for putting me in such a big match on a big stage, because regardless of, you know, how many people were there, if it was 1,000, if it was a couple hundred, if it was, you know, whatever, to say that I won a championship at the Ohio State Fair, and that can go down in the history books of, you know, the wrestle nerds of Ohio, or the wrestle nerds of the world, that Robbie Starr won the New Ohio Wrestling Championship at the Ohio State Fair. That's one of the biggest honors and biggest accomplishments of my career, for sure. And it's a belt that I've wanted to win, because when I love a promotion, I really want to be the guy for that promotion, and, you know, be the face and work hard for that promotion, because you're putting the trust in me to bring in people to see our events. And that means a lot to me. So not to get sappy or anything, because I don't really like you, Donnie. But
oh, yeah, I understand. Feelings mutual.
No, I thank you for putting me in that situation. I was able to get the victory over Matt Taylor, who is, has been a thorn in my side in every promotion that I've wrestled for, but he's a great opponent and a great dude to be in the ring with, for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. So it was a great match. And I say, even though you always try to do underhanded tactics and all this stuff, and you're the show Robbie Starr, you still, yeah, no matter how mean and nasty you are to people, you still seem to draw the fans in to cheer for you, which is something I still haven't figured out. Like, you got that family in the front row. They bring t-shirts and spines. And
well, the only smart people that come to your shows.
so how many boas do you go through?
You know what? I've given a few away to Blythe, that one little girl that loves me at your show. I gave one away to her. But I have a lot of the ones that I've started with. They don't smell very well, but I still have, you know, I take pretty good care of them. So, you know, you know if I've been in a locker room, though, they're all over the place. Jimmy Shane hates that.
You know, can I, that was going to be my next question, since you mentioned Jimmy Shane. I think, Robbie, one of the accolades that maybe some people don't realize is in your resume, so to speak, was that you kind of took Jimmy under your wing, you know, especially in his early years, and really helped him to develop that character. And not saying Jimmy's not a talented dude, because he is, but I think, you know,
he better. No, I'm just
I think that, you know, I think, and Donnie, you can back.
He's good. He's a great dude.
I think, yeah, and I think, Donnie, you can back me up on this. You need that person to take you under the wing sometimes and show them, you know, this is how things are done in that. So, I mean, Robbie, do you feel like that is a accolade that you deserve for helping Jimmy out? Or is it just what you were taught to do and you're kind of repaying it?
The latter. I think what I was taught to do. I never even really thought about it until you just brought it up, that I, you know, helped Jimmy, you know, I guess give the rub to him a little bit. I never really thought of it that way until you just pointed it out, John. Jimmy's been great. He's been a sponge, and he's gone his own way and made a name for himself on his own. You know, he's really gone a lot of places and done a lot of things. I know that's a term that we use a lot in the wrestling business and then wrestling promos, but you know, he's gone state to state. He's gone to different promotions on his own. He's traveled the roads. He's absorbed knowledge from Jeff, from Matt Taylor, from myself, from Matt Mason, from Joey, one of his best friends, Joey Rogers, that started a little bit before him, I think about a year before him.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Sherman Tank and, you know, guys that have been around the business for a while, and he knows what he's doing, and he's kind of the man behind the scenes at OCW now. So he's, you know, making a very good name for himself and still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
Still going strong. He's been in the business, what, 8 years now? Something yeah. like that.
What was your – do you have a favorite memory of when you two were together? Like a favorite match or a favorite memory?
Here is how we came up with the term winners. Okay, this one – that when you, as soon as you said that, this is the first thing that popped in my mind. We had both won our matches that night at OCW, and we were both heels, and Jimmy was brand new basically as a heel, maybe his third or fourth match. I don't know. He's a better historian than I am. But we were at the after party at BW3's in Newark. No. Was it Newark?
Was it Sports Zone in Coshocton?
Zanesville. So okay. we were at the after party in Zanesville at BW3's. And this mom and daughter that came to all the shows were there, and they were trying to talk to us, and we were staying away from all the boys because we were the, you know, the newly biggest heels in the group, in the company, and we were trying to, you know, keep kayfabe as much as possible, and they were coming over here and trying to talk to us. And we had a couple of Bud Lights, I think, we were drinking. And anytime they said anything to us and they were waiting for our response, we would just yell real loud and toast one another, winners! We were the winners! That's the only thing we even gave them. We didn't talk to them. We didn't answer any of their questions. We were just like celebrating the whole night anytime they said anything. And then we took that to the ring and incorporated it into our gimmick. And then that nice. Became a tag team name. Nice. And then it became our group in New Ohio Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Gary say, I mean, it started out as something goofing off with you guys, but I thought it was friggin' hilarious. And yeah. I liked it so much that I wanted to bring it to New Ohio just so I could hear you guys just yell it.
it was us goofing off, mm-hmm. having fun, being jackasses, basically. And it grew into something big. And that's how a lot of things work in wrestling and work in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a happy mistake for sure. Yeah, Bob Ross.
Yeah, there you go.
You've managed to stay injury free pretty much, you know.
Hey, yes, no. Now, John. All right, you're already kind of getting on my nerves. No, that's I've been blessed with that. I haven't had too many serious injuries. I think the most serious one was, besides my head getting gashed.
Oh yeah, I kind of forgot about that.
Yeah,
I'll tell you right now, that freaked me out. I'll just be honest. I think we've talked about it, but that freaked me out that night because, I was like, oh man, that looked horrible.
Yeah, the only camera angle that I have seen or heard was just, you saw me do the moonsault to the outside, and all you just heard was a big smack. Yeah. You couldn't see me hit, but then when the camera came over, you just saw the blood pour out of my head, and it was all over the ground. You know, it was an unfortunate incident. It was me trying to do too much at that time. Me not normally performing that maneuver to the outside. The part that was my fault, I tried to go back over the post, and I thought I could go farther than what I did. And at that time, I actually had a real pretty moonsault where I would go straight up, straight down. So I'm lucky I didn't even hit the post going down. But I tried to go over the post, and they were just too far back. So I don't blame them. A lot of people did initially. It was mm-hmm. Cruz Avery and Todd Richards at the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't blame them. I don't hold any grudges. It was a freak accident, and you know, it is what it is. Just something that I've learned from. and I learned to go to the side now if I ever want to do a moonsault to the outside of the ring, which I've only attempted twice since that all happened way back when.
Yeah.
Well, I really admit, though, you got one of the prettiest moonsaults out there for sure.
It was better when I was younger, but it's still the only other injury that I've actually had, and I don't even know if any of you know this, Jimmy Shane ruptured my eardrum, and I couldn't hear for a good, 2 weeks out of my, I don't remember what ear it is now. I think it was my left ear. Yeah, because he hit me with a right punch, so popped me right on the ear and ruptured my eardrum.
Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of scary. I freaked out in the back.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going on because I've been hit in the ear before, but my hearing always came back mid-match, and that it wasn't coming back. And so I go to, a specialist and everything.
See, that happened to me once. That sucks.
Yeah, it's no fun for sure.
Yeah, going back to Jimmy Shane real quick, since Orlando brought that to your attention about you taking him under your wing and stuff, I expect to hear a promo on that the next time you go at him on the mic.
Well, we just kind of reconciled back in OCW. We're starting to not be together again, but we have each other's backs more or less.
There you go.
In OCW, so it could be working out for good for both promotions, New Ohio and OCW.
Yeah, for sure.
I was going to say, Robbie, me being the new kid in the business. I've done announcing now for Donnie for about 2 years. So feel free to harass the ring announcer next time you come in. I'm used to it now, so.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of it. It's like, first, it's like, I don't know if I'm doing something wrong or not. I even talked to.
Be a ring announcer, you need to shave that beard.
Yeah, that's coming. It's coming off. The beard's coming off.
Jim, I'll just give you some advice. Be nimble, especially if Jock Sampson decides to throw a cowbell at you. You better pay attention because there were many times where that thing started. I'm like, oh, crap. I wasn't paying attention. You got to pay attention when he's coming to the ring. Otherwise, you're going to eat a cowbell for sure.
Okay, well, I've got hungry for cowbell, even if Christopher Walken says so. But, Robbie, what do you have to say for your next opponent for the NOW championship?
Well, do we even know who it is?
No. At the moment, no.
No, okay. Well, whoever it is, if you're...
Well, even if we did, I probably wouldn't tell you anyway because that's just how I am.
Exactly. I don't find out the day of. For whoever you are, if you're worthy enough to even be in the ring with the show, you better come ready, you better come equipped, and you better have Lady Luck on your side, because the show, Robbie Starr, has got all the tools in the world to put you down and pin you under those lights. 1, 2, 3.
As a matter of fact, now I'm thinking about it, I think a Dark Star Matt Taylor rematch will probably be
of course
one of them. Yeah.
Of course.
And of course, we'll have to work on keeping your friends away from the ringside there.
Listen, Donnie, that's expected. You can surprise me by booking Arnold Schwarzenegger against me. That's what I really want. Damn it.
If he can do it, I'll do it.
And what advice do you have, Robbie, for somebody just getting into the business?
Listen. Pay attention. Ears open, mouth shut. Be respectful. Don't be afraid to ask questions, though, because I think, I shouldn't say this for everybody, but I think that a lot of guys are willing to help you. The old mentality of not smartening you up, I think, has gone by the wayside. I think I with the state wrestling is in now, and it's getting better, but I believe, like, wrestling had put a bad taste in people's mouths, put a bad stain around the area just because it wasn't good. It was untrained guys, buying boots offline and somehow getting a ring, and, they were playing wrestler. If you go to a good, knowledgeable school, I'm going to plug Spinebuster because we're going to start reopening back up in January. At least that's the plan. Cody Hawk School, Mega School, good, knowledgeable guys know the business. Ask questions, go train, get as much ring time as possible. All of the above, just be a sponge is the main thing. Soak it all in, study your craft. I could go on and on and on. I tell my guys all the time, you know, come with a move you want to learn, or come with an idea for a character or a promo or something. Just try to evolve and make yourself different. A lot of good things that were instilled in me, I try to instill in the guys that I train or come across, you know, in a locker room or whatever. Well, if they ask a question.
The reason I ask that, Robbie, is because you need to be careful of my daughter.
What?
She is training with Cody Hawk right now.
Okay.
And she may be coming for you in that NOW title sometime.
You know, I'm no Andy Kaufman, but I'm not afraid to whoop a woman's butt. You know? If she tries me, I'll knock a tooth out.
She's about 2 months in with Cody now, and she's absolutely loving what she's doing.
Well, she picked a great school. Cody Hawk is top notch. She knows his craft. I've been in the ring plenty of times with him, on the same side, on the opposing side, and he knows his stuff for sure.
She's kind of doing what I never got a chance to do, so I live vicariously through her.
I was just going to say that. You're living vicariously through it. But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Shave that beard.
Yeah. Got to talk to my wife about that. She likes it.
Yeah. Nice. I was going to – you already brought it up, but I was already going to bring up Spinebuster University. Do you want to talk a little bit about that for the people out there?
Sure. Right now, we are actually currently suspending training just because we don't have a sufficient facility. But I've been in talks with Jeremy and Glenn, the general manager and the owner of OCW, and we have tentatively have a deal with the old gym that we were at, the second gym we were at in Akron. And we had planned on advertising a new class starting in January.
And is that back at that school that you guys were at, or?
No, it's gonna be at the MMA gym.
Okay.
Akron than in Portage Lakes. I would love to go back to that gym in Portage Lakes. That was perfect for shows and for the training facility. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of set up another deal with the MMA gym that we were at. It's not in a great part of town, but it's not in a bad part of town, if that makes sense. It's kind of like right on the outskirts. It's easy to get to, but I've heard horror stories of all kinds of, you know, wrestling schools, the, you know, different areas and stuff like that. But this place isn't bad. It's you know, well equipped, big enough space for us. I don't know if they're going to do any deal with like the weights, but he's the owner of that gym has like weights and cardio equipment and stuff like that, that we might be accessible to. Don't know all the details quite yet, but, you know, I'm probably planning on training again, being the head trainer. You know, all the guys affiliated with OCW that are qualified either don't have the time right now or are not committed to doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something that I actually really found that I love to do is train guys. I've got a lot of good prospects that are on the current roster and have made different appearances for different promotions.
Yeah, we've used some of your guys' students. And Jake Ely, Chuck the Truck Norris. And,
right.
Unfortunately, Gino DiCapo. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't take credit for those guys. That Sherman Tank trained those three, including Grant Andrews as well. Mm-hmm. Those were his four main guys that came out and, you know, are making a good name for themselves around Ohio. And I appreciate you using them because they still come and train with me.
Right, yeah.
stepped away for a little bit. So I've taught him a thing or two, I would like to think. But, you know, those are Tank's guys for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, who should we keep an eye out that came from your training school? From your training class, I should say.
I want to name them all because they've all got equally
okay.
But the one that comes to mind the most is Lord Thomas the Brute.
Okay.
He's a good boy. He's a scary individual. He's a monster in the ring. He's probably, and I think all the other guys will attest to this, the most advanced student that I've had. And then there's guys that have come later that come to mind. Asher Knox.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little up there in age, but he's got a great gimmick. He's a high roller from Las Vegas, Nevada. Very proud of him. Other guys like Kenny Cash and Jared Knight and Ray Stewart. Those guys all from the Akron area, just great heads on their shoulders, are really, really starting to develop their characters. I can't think. I don't hope I'm not missing anybody. I guess I could take somewhat credit for Natalie May, one of our female competitors. Tank started with her, but she wasn't quite done with training. She's doing really well, having matches. She's the Ohio Championship Wrestling Women's Champion at the moment. Gotta think. Edit this out because I'm taking a long time. I can't believe I'm getting my students. Hey, let's see. There's Matt. There's Kenny, Jared, Ray, Tommy. Who am I forgetting? I'm gonna get ripped for this because I'm forgetting somebody.
No, because you're in charge. You're the boss. Yeah, now,
prove yourself more to me, damn it. I think that's about it. If I forget to mention somebody, put it in the notes that I forgot to mention.
We're just going to say you did it on purpose.
That I do everything on purpose.
So, with all that being said, how can people find out more about Robbie Superstar?
Well, I have all the, you know, the general social media. I have Twitter, RobbieStar117 at Twitter. At Yahoo, and then I'm the show Robbie Starr on Facebook. That's my athlete page. My real last name, I guess, is Galloway, so I have a personal page as Rob Galloway on Facebook as well. I will add fans, but I generally like to keep that kind of personal. But I've added fans in the past, so any of those pages will work.
And now, is there any social media for Spinebuster?
Yes, there is a Facebook page. That's our primary use of communication in Spinebuster University on Facebook. And then Ohio Championship Wrestling has links to Spinebuster. They have a Facebook page, an Instagram, and a Twitter. And all of those things are available to link you to the Spinebuster page. And we also have OCWrestling.net, which is not always up to date, but it has some current stuff on there as well.
Okay. And don't forget that currently Robbie is the new Ohio Wrestling Champion.
You better not forget it either.
Donnie, John, any last things for Robbie?
No, man, I got to say that this has been a real blast.
Yes. It's been fun.
Yeah, to walk back memory lane, so to speak, man. It really was a blast for me. Thank you, yeah. Rob, for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys, for having me. I really, really enjoyed it.
I'm just tickled because he busted my chops about, you know, botching a couple of things during the show here. that makes me feel more a part of this business. So, you know, if I botched it, oh well, I'll get over it.
Yeah. Wait, you ain't no different from the rest. If you mess something up, we're going to let you know about it.
So, Robbie, thank you so much for being a part of Wrestle Horror. And just before we close out, throw out a couple of your horror movies. What do you like?
You're going to put me on the spot like that. Abby, what are
you? And we're not talking about your and John's relationship either.
That's more of a tragedy. That's not a horror. That's more of a tragedy, Donnie.
Looking at the three of you has been pretty scary all night.
I'll feed something to you here. How about Halloween?
Yeah.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. What are some of the horror movies I like?
Your wife knows, but you don't.
New fan. I'm a new fan.
Okay.
Abby. Where'd she go? She's
apparently. Okay, so
we'll just bring her in. We'll have him scoot over, and we'll sit her down and talk horror films.
we had to throw a little more horror in there. It's just a horror.
Exorcism of Emily Rose. That one's a great one.
Good movie. Good
yes.
movie.
Okay. The Conjuring. Yes. I was scared to death to go to bed that night. Seriously.
I know.
Based on like a true events.
Right.
That's what intrigues me. That's what I get involved with. So
okay.
Good ones for you there.
Okay. Perfect. Robbie, again, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us on Wrestle Horror. It's been awesome. We can't wait to see you again at the Arnold, hopefully.
Yes, I will be there.
Okay. And hopefully New Ohio Wrestling, you've got a belt to defend sometime. I mean, so.
Yeah. Apparently I'm going to defend it 15 times at the Arnold.
Well, you got the fair, too. You got 4 times at the fair if you can make it through.
Right.
You know what? Challenge accepted.
All right. Again, for John and Donnie, I'm Meat Hook Jim, along with Robbie Starr, Rob Galloway, however you want to know him. Thank you so much for being on Wrestle Horror, and we will catch you on the next show.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.